Title: Filtered Impact Layers for 90s Rave Flavor Advanced. All right, let's build one of the most quietly powerful signatures in 90s rave and jungle. The filtered impact, that noisy, urgent whoosh hoomp that lands exactly with a drop, feels huge and somehow doesn't steal the punch from your kick and snare. If you've ever thrown a random impact sample on bar 33 and thought, why does this feel loud but not exciting? This is why. The classic vibe comes from layering, filter movement, and tight envelope control, not just volume. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a reusable impact rack in Ableton Live with three layers, a sub-thump, a mid-hoomp with that rave filter character, and a bright air layer that reads on small speakers. And you'll have macros so you can perform it like an instrument. First, setup and routing. Create a new audio track and name it Impact Bus. Put an auto effect rack on it. Inside the rack, create three chains, sub, mid, and air. Quick teacher note, keeping impacts on their own bus is a pro move. It makes automation clean, sidechaining simple, and it stops your impact design from messing up your drum processing. Now let's build the SUB layer. The job here is not bass drop. The job is tiny controlled thump that gives the drop marker weight without a boomy tail. On the SUB chain, add operator. Set oscillator to assign wave. Now shape the amp envelope. Attack at zero, decay around 120 to 180 milliseconds, sustain all the way down, release around 50 to 80 milliseconds. This is basically a little low frequency hit, not a note. Now for the classic thump gesture, enable the pitch envelope. Set the amount somewhere between plus 12 and plus 24 semitones, and set the pitch decay around 60 to 120 milliseconds. What you're hearing is that quick downward pitch bend that reads as impact even at low volume. After operator, add EQ8, high pass at about 25 to 30 hertz to clean useless sub-rumble. And if your kick lives around that 120 to 180 hertz zone, consider a gentle dip there so the impact doesn't cloud the kick body. Then add utility. Set width to 0%. This is important. Sub-impacts in stereo smear, collapse weird in mono, and can wreck translation on club systems. Keep it mono, and keep the gain modest. You want this layer felt, not obviously heard. Now the MID layer. This is where the 90s rave flavor actually lives. If the sub is weight and the air is excitement, the mid layer is character. Think of it less like an impact sample and more like a formant hit, like a vowel-shaped burst that briefly lights up a narrow band. On the MID chain, add wave eatable. Set oscillator 1 to basic shapes, and pick a saw or square. Add a little unison, like 2 to 4 voices, and keep the tune small. We're not making a lush pad. We're making a compact, angry little mid burst. Now add auto filter after wave eatable. Set it to band pass. If you want extra attitude, try the PRD filter model, but band pass is the core move. Set the frequency to start somewhere around 250 to 500 hertz. Set resonance around 35 to 55%. That resonance is the rave vowel edge, but if it starts whistling, back it off. Add some drive and auto filter around 3 to 6 dB. Now the key, use the filter envelope to create movement. Set envelope amount around plus 20 to plus 40. Attack very fast, 0 to 5 milliseconds. Decay around 180 to 350 milliseconds. Release around 80 to 150 milliseconds. What this is doing is giving you a whoomp that blooms and closes, instead of a static mid-hit. This is the old-school gesture, resonant filter motion printed into a sampler hit. Next, add saturator after auto filter. Use analog clip or soft sign. Drive around 4 to 8 dB, then trim the output so you're not just getting louder. Teacher tip, if you're chasing 90 smack, clipping before limiting usually beats a limiter. Saturator with soft clip on can preserve the perception of attack without the pumpy feeling. Then add EQ8, high pass around 80 to 120 Hz so the MID stays out of the sub and kick zone. If you want more bark, do a small boost somewhere around 700 Hz to 1.2K. Keep it subtle. This is an impact, not a lead. Now the AIR layer, top snap and a hint of space. This is what makes the impact read on phone speakers and helps announce the drop even in a dense mix. On the AIR chain, add simpler in classic mode. Drop in a short sample, vinyl noise hit, cymbal chop, clap snap, or even just a tiny white noise burst. Shape the amp envelope, attack at zero, decay around 80 to 200 milliseconds, sustain down, release around 40 to 80 milliseconds. Short and intentional, add auto filter after simpler. Set it to high pass. Put the cutoff around 3 to 6 kHz. Resonance around 10 to 25%. Optionally, as small envelope amount, like plus 5 to plus 15, so you get that quick TSSHH flick at the top. Now add echo. Set it to sync time, like 1/16th or 1/8th. Feedback around 10 to 20%. Keep it bright. High pass the echo around 2 to 3 kHz. Mix around 8 to 15%. You want a slap, not a delay line. Then add reverb. Size around 20 to 35%. Decay around 0.6 to 1.2 seconds. And pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds, so it doesn't smear the transient instantly. Now here's a trick. Filter the reverb hard. Low cut around 3 to 6K, high cut around 8 to 12K, and keep dry wet around 8 to 18%. The reverb is there to imply space, not to fog your drop. At this point, play all three layers together. If it sounds huge but it's stepping on the kick and snare, don't just turn it down. Shorten the tails first. Impacts that ring into the first drum hits make drops feel weaker, even if they're louder. Now let's glue it together with macro so it's performable. On the audio effect rack, map macro 1 to punch. For punch, you can map it to the sub-pitch envelope amount or amp decay, to the MID saturator drive, and to the AIR simpler decay just slightly. The idea is, punch increases perceived hit without turning the whole thing into a long mess. Macro 2 is filter sweep. Map it to the MID auto filter frequency, with a range like 180 Hz up to about 1.2 k. Also map it to the AIR high pass frequency, like 2.5 k up to 7 k. This is your vowel shift control. Use it to make different section markers feel like different identities, not copy-paste impacts. Macro 3 is length. Map it to the MID filter envelope decay, maybe 150 to 450 milliseconds, and map it gently to reverb decay, like 0.5 to 1.4 seconds, but keep the reverb subtle. A longer impact is not automatically better. The best impacts are often short, with a thin tail that doesn't mask the groove. Macro 4 is dirt. Map it to the MID saturator drive, maybe 3 to 10 dB. If you want extra 90s grit, add redux on the MID chain and map a tiny dry wet, like 5 to 12%, with downsample around 2 to 8. Small amounts go a long way. You're trying to suggest old sampler texture, not destroy the transient. Macro 5 is width. Map it to AIR utility width, something like 80% up to 140%. Keep the SUB locked at zero width. And a reminder, check mono early. A live rave width is facey top layers, and that can disappear in mono. If that happens, keep your width more in the reverb and echo returns, not in the dry air transient. While you're designing, you can put a limiter at the end of the rack as a safety, but don't let it become your solution. Gain stage each chain. Headroom matters because impacts spike hard, and a limiter can blunt the attack you're trying to create. Now let's make it hit like drum and bass. Timing, placement, and sidechain. Placement first. Put the full impact exactly on the first transient of the drop. In a classic 64-bar intro structure, that's often bar 33. Also consider lighter versions on bar 17, and maybe every 16 bars to punctuate phrase changes. Think of impacts like signposts. New chapter starts here. Now micro timing. This is the secret sauce that separates sample on the grid from record feels expensive. Try nudging the AIR layer 5 to 15 milliseconds earlier than the sub and mid. That makes the snap read first, and the body follows. Or, for a heavier slam, leave the air on grid and nudge the MID 5 milliseconds late so it feels like it lands with weight. Now sidechain. On the impact bus, add a compressor. Enable sidechain and set the input to your drum bus, or at least kick and snare. Ratio around 2:1 to 4:1, attack 5 to 15 milliseconds, release 60 to 120 milliseconds. Aim for just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. We're not pumping the impact away. We're just carving a tiny mask window so your main drum transients stay king. Coach note to lock it in. Design around mask windows, not loudness. The kick and snare transient is a tiny moment. Your impact frames that moment. A good mental model is, the AIR reads first, the MID blooms right after, and the SUB stays shortest and cleanest. Now, optional but highly recommended, resampling for authentic 90s grit. Create a new audio track called Impact Print. Set its input to resampling. Record a few hits while you tweak the macros like you're playing an instrument. This is where the magic happens. Old school workflows committed to audio, and the commitment is part of the vibe. On the printed audio, you can add subtle redux, EQ carve, and drum bus. On drum bus, drive around 5 to 15%, crunch up to about 10%, and be careful with boom. Boom can get huge fast and mess with your low-end balance. Now, let's cover a few advanced upgrades you can use when you want the impact to feel more rave classic and less modern FX pack. 1. A two-stage sweep on the MID. Keep your auto filter doing the initial whoomp, then add EQ8 after it with a narrow bell boost, like Q3 to 6, and map that bell frequency to a macro so it slides upward slightly. That creates a quick whoomp plus a tiny E lift, which reads like sampler motion. 2. Parallel dirt split. Duplicate the MID chain into a clean version and a trash version. On the trash chain, go heavier on saturation, redux, even overdrive, but fade in the trash 5 to 15 milliseconds so the clean transient hits first and the dirt blooms after. Then make a macro that blends the chain volumes. This gives you punch and grit without turning the transient into mush. 3. The duck the music trick. If you want a cinematic hole punch at the drop marker without compressing the impact itself, put a compressor on your music bus keyed by the impact. Short release, tiny gain reduction, like 1 to 2 dB. The track briefly makes room, and the impact feels louder without being louder. 4. Tempo synced room snap that doesn't smear. Put a gate after the AIR reverb or echo, and sidechain the gate from the dry AIR. That way the space tail ends exactly where you want, even at 174 BPM. Now, common mistakes to avoid, because these are the ones that make impacts feel amateur. If the tails are too long and ring into the first kick and snare, the drop loses punch. Shorten decay and trim reverb first. If the sub is wide, it'll smear and collapse weird. Keep it mono. If the band pass resonance whistles, it gets cheap and harsh fast. Back off resonance, or saturate after filtering so the edge feels thicker, not sharper. And don't ignore headroom. Impacts are peak monsters. Level matches you design so you're judging tone and movement, not volume. Now a quick practice exercise you can do in a Riedel DNB project. Set your project to 172 to 175 BPM. Build the rack. Place an impact on bar 1 very subtly, bar 17 medium, bar 33 full. Automate filter sweep, so bar 33 is the most open and present in the mids. Then resample 10 variations while you move only 2 macros, filter sweep and dirt. Pick 3 winners, a clean one, a dirty redux one, and one with a slightly longer tail. Then do the real test. Mute the impact. Does the drop feel smaller? Unmute it. Does it mask kick or snare? If it does, shorten the tail, or increase sidechain slightly, or move the MID bloom later by a few milliseconds. Final recap to lock it in. This audio version is shortened for playback.